All right, and welcome to the Blitz Day live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Monday, September 21st. The time is 10:04 a.m., and we are in the studio right now, ready to break down a massive weekend in the sports world. But first, before any of that, before we get into the NFL, before we get into the NBA, before we get into the NHL, before we get into golf, before we get into Brandon's suspension being lifted, there is one thing that you must hear to begin your Monday morning. And that is, welcome to football week in Tennessee. It is here. We are officially beginning game week for the first game of the 2020 Tennessee Volunteers football season. Can we get a little hype in the chat? Can we get a little hype?
Yeah.
There we go. We got Miles.
Brandon, I don't feel like you're hype.
Come on, it's hype. It's game week.
It's my first day back.
What's wrong with you?
Game week.
There's no time for breaks.
There's no time for resting when it's game week.
I don't feel like you're bringing it today, Brandon.
I'll bring it.
You need your jumping jacks.
You have low tea.
I do not have low tea. I do not need to do jumping jacks. I am fine.
It's game week.
I know. By Friday, I'll be fine. By Friday, I'll be ready to go.
It will be a slow climb.
But it is Monday.
But by God, he'll be there by Friday. Guys, I am so excited for today. Again, it's game week. We have been talking about this week and this upcoming Saturday for what feels like a decade now. Our last game was the nice little comeback victory against Indiana on January 2nd, and it's now September 21st, and we play football here in 5 days. I don't know about you guys. I'm sure this is the same case, but I am so stinking excited that we are now finally here. Now, I know there's still a lot more, there's still obstacles in the road. There's still mountains and hills to climb. But by God, we are here. Game week. Game week!
It is upon us.
It is. So, man, all this week, or at least a great amount of this week, will be devoted towards game one versus South Carolina. We're playing Saturday night under the lights in Columbia, South Carolina. Man. So that is what we will certainly be talking about today. On the Tennessee front, we got a lot of news. But of course, we got still to talk about week two in the NFL. Got to talk about some of the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals as Anthony Davis called Kobe last night to send the Lakers home happy. But before we get into any of that as well, let me go ahead and introduce the guys in the room. My name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left and back off suspension again is Brandon Norick. Joined to my right is Charlie Collier. And, of course, back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Feeling pretty good, except I don't feel like Brandon has enough energy for game week.
I have energy.
By the way, Brandon, nobody believes that that we had actually put you on suspension. You just were on vacation. How was it?
It was nice.
You seem exhausted.
You do seem exhausted. Did you just get in, like, last night?
No.
Late Saturday.
You got a little low T going.
That's Charlie
said. Oh my God, really, Brandon! The people are really coming after you today. These
first
these
day
guys
back.
Over here.
So you went to the Dirty Myrtle.
Yeah.
You got any Dirty Myrtle stories? Any funny sightings? Any safe for radio?
No.
None safe for radio. Okay.
Wow. So that means there are stories.
NSFR.
But they're just
You went That's with Cody, too.
That's a good one.
I'll tell you during the break.
And you went with Cody Mack, right?
Yes.
You guys popping into any open mic nights, a little improv comedy or anything?
Oh, wow.
We did not. We saw this one place, but we didn't go.
So it's like, is Cody like that, like a new, like annoying friend that has like the new hobby that's like, oh man, we gotta go to this comedy club, man. Like, and you're like, damn, dude, I just went to a comedy club last night. They're not even that good. Like, is it like one of those people, like,
comedy club,
you know, like
excellent.
Like the new podcaster, like the people like,
oh,
come
sure.
on, man, or like,
oh sure,
or the people like just start acting, like, you gotta come to my show. It's like five people there.
No, it wasn't like that.
Okay, as I just didn't know how in depth Cody is with the, you know, the new. Job. It's a new hopeful career as a comedian. I know if he's, you know, taking you to all the hit comedy bars around the Dirty Myrtle.
No, we did not go. We saw one comedy bar we thought about going, but we didn't go. We didn't get around to it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm also good, by the way.
Oh, we were getting
hey,
to
I'm
you.
Getting over there.
Getting to
I'm
you.
Getting over
getting
there.
Getting to you, Tyler.
Don't worry. Don't worry. And last but not least, Charlie Collier. Now, Charlie has a little bit of big news that he told us this morning. This wraps up very nicely into game week. But what would that be? What are your plans, Charlie, for this upcoming weekend?
Oh, I'm heading off to South Carolina.
Bang!
Going
bang.
To the game.
Mike Breen voice.
Me and my dad are going.
That is awesome. So you will be there, I mean, live in South Carolina to watch the Tennessee Volunteers.
I will. Socially distanced styled. Got to read into what all the rules that I have
carry
to follow
carry your mask.
Are.
Uh-huh.
I'll have a mask. Can we get a – I'll just wear like a mask that says the Blitz maybe. Can we – you think we can –
Oh, that's a great
that?
Idea. We need licensed masks.
Oh,
that's a tremendous plan.
I don't know.
Is it going to be a little bit different for you going with your father? Or are you going to have to tame yourself a little bit?
No. I mean, I'm always respectful wherever I go and responsible.
Interesting.
So anyways, we have a ton of stuff to get into today. Obviously, again, we got a bunch of Tennessee news as Tennessee, the new AP rankings come out. So where are the Volunteers leading into the first week of the season? We'll talk about that a little bit. We will also talk about what was in week two of the NFL season. There were some crazy games over the weekend, including the ending of Sunday Night Football last night. Man, ends on a wild play on a goal line stand from the Seattle Seahawks defense as, man, Cam Newton took the ball about on the 1 to 2 yard line. The Patriots were down 5. Time was running out of the game. And Cam Newton, who had played a outstanding game all game long. I mean, the guy was playing like vintage Cam Newton. Looked re-energized, looked refreshed.
He's healthy
with
now.
This, yeah, it looked very healthy with the Patriots. And at the end of the game, man, exactly the kind of finish you want to a Sunday Night Football primetime game. You have a 5-point game, a 1-score game. Patriots, losing team, underdogs, have the ball on the goal line as time is winding down. But again, it is the Seahawks who are able to make the great defensive stand and take week two of the Sunday Night Football slate.
That was a great game. Cam looked healthy. That's, I think, what a lot of teams... They definitely dropped the ball and not looking at this guy a little bit harder. I think the Patriots got a steal for what they're paying him.
I really think they did, too. I mean, think how many other teams are out
there right
now.
He's only guaranteed like $1 million, and then it's like 7 with incentives. So
think about like the Chicago Bears. Like you really don't think that they would have wanted Cam on this team
right
now?
I mean, the Bears, the Dolphins. I mean, I think he's better. I think he's better than Sam Darnold. I mean, I could go down the list of quarterbacks that are currently starters. San Francisco could have went after him. Jimmy Garoppolo goes down yesterday. The Chargers, they start the rookie Justin Herbert. I mean, they're not playing Tyrod. I mean, they could have looked at Cam. There's a lot of teams that could have looked at him that didn't. So I think the Patriots got a steal. I think he looked good. I'm excited to see a player come back like that with his athletic ability be able to, you know, show that he can still play. I thought on that last play, they should have went with that RPO they went with before the little pop pass where they – Jakob Johnson. Anybody
yeah,
notice the
how
little,
about that?
Little Jakob Johnson with Jakob. the touchdown playing fullback for the Patriots. I thought they were going to do something like that again because everybody thinks at the end of the game in that situation, Cam's getting the ball to run
yeah.
it on the goal line. I mean, and they sold out on it.
Well, okay, so we were watching the – you know, we were right there in the living room, and Brandon and I both were saying that, hey, put Cam in the shotgun, and I would just run it behind him. Give him the fullback.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking any RPO myself,
well,
although in hindsight – I'm probably
well,
saying that
that last
that
play that
idea.
They did worked so perfectly is why I say that.
Well,
if
I mean,
don't
I
see the play with Yak, then I probably don't think
I think
the same
if
thing.
I were calling the plays,
yeah,
I think I would have still wanted Cam to run it, but I would have at least had the option to.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody out there in the flat where if he goes to run, he sees it's jammed, he can't get in there. He does a little pop pass. That's what I'm saying.
Just go with the levels concept and roll out to the right or the left, whichever way he's more comfortable. So then you can either run it or throw it.
Yeah,
I think that you saw that play work. The just total QB power. I think that's actually what it's called in one of the video
QB
games.
QB power. No.
But you saw that play work earlier in the game where he did take a touchdown in, I believe it was sometime in the first half, where it was the exact same lineup pretty much. You had the fullback, you had Cam in the shotgun, and then he just, basically walked right into the left side of the line and into the end zone. I wonder if that might have given the Patriots a little bit more confidence to call that play again, but at the same time, you can't give Pete Carroll's defense two looks at the exact same offense.
Well, I just think
they're going to be ready for it the second time around, and they were that time.
I just think that late in the game, you can run that. You're running that power. You're running it throughout the game. But late in the game, no time left on the clock. You got to have an option out there for him to maybe pass. Even maybe it's an Edelman, like something what Charlie said, and you roll all the receivers, levels play, and you try to get them to roll out, and you get them going with them, and maybe somebody stops and, rolls the other way, and he's able to throw a pass somebody open, or you just – you do some type of block, slip play where the fullback or tight end slips out after throwing a block and they're open. But it was a great game. I'm not disappointed at all about the game. I would have liked to have won for confidence points, though. But I liked a great game. And Russell Wilson, he is looking like the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
He is very good. He's very good. And he does so much more with less. He had 5 touchdowns last night to 5 different receivers.
And you know what's crazy about that, too? Since the beginning of 2019, the New England Patriots secondary have let up 4 touchdown passes before yesterday's game. So at the start of 2019 through week 1 of the 2020 season, again, the Patriots have let up 4 touchdown passes to wide receivers in that time span. Then they let up 5 to Russell Wilson yesterday alone. I think that should undoubtedly speak to how great Russell Wilson is.
He's better than Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in football in my eyes.
I think you can argue that. Mahomes gets the credit right now until the victor goes to Spoils. He gets the MVP. The Super Bowl, and he's Super Bowl MVP. So, he's riding high right now. But definitely, maybe if Russell Wilson had Tyreek Hill and some of those weapons, Travis Kelce, that – Patrick Mahomes at, he definitely might be in the same category with his second Super Bowl.
Mahomes is the flashier player in the flashier offense that makes some of the crazier throws sometimes, it feels like. But Russell Wilson, in his own right, is absurd as well.
He's going to be in the Hall one day. Yeah, I think he's going to be in the Hall one day.
Oh, that's a lock. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so, too. So that is just a little bit of a taste or an appetizer about some of the NFL conversation we got coming up today. Again, today's going to be a loaded show. We'll have NFL Week 2 breakdown. We will look ahead to Tennessee's upcoming game against South Carolina this weekend, as well as the official line has just come out for that game. So I'll kind of tell you that, or maybe even let you predict it, then see what we think about the line for Tennessee's game versus South Carolina. We will get into the Eastern Conference Finals. Now we finally got Brandon, as I can't wait to hear your side of maybe how the Celtics can shoot their way back into the series. We'll also talk about Anthony Davis and his Kobe game-winning shot yesterday. Man, we got a ton of stuff going on today. It is a good, good, good day here on the show. If you would like to join in on that, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in on the show today. Otherwise, we will be right back broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. This is The Blitz. We'll go NFL Week 2 right on the other side. All right, here we go back here on The Blitz, 10:21 a.m., Monday, September 21st as well. We got the whole gang in studio, myself, Brandon, Charlie, and Chance hanging out with you as we are making our way into the first segment of the show today. And looking back at the NFL weekend, gentlemen, it was a good weekend for all 4 of us, as I believe all 4 of our teams were able to take home the victory. And speaking of that, how about Chance, what do you say? We wrap this up another week. We continue it on another week and do a little NFL scoreboard action. See if I can fit the whole thing in the time of the bumper this time.
You think you can do it?
I don't know. I think I was like four. What do you think? I was like 4 or 5 seconds off last time.
You're pretty good.
You thought you were like spot on last week, were you not?
I felt like I was a little over.
Ready, set, go.
Week two of the NFL season, and here we go. The Browns take down the Bengals 35-30 on Thursday night football. Then we move into Sunday. The Bears take down the Giants as Saquon Barkley tears his ACL. They win by a score of 17-13. The Rams slaughter the Eagles by a score of 37-19. There were boos in Philadelphia with the virtual fans. The Cowboys take down the Falcons, America's team with America's comeback, 40-39 after a wild onside kick.
Easy now.
Buccaneers 31, Panthers 17 as Tom Brady is able to find his first win in the Tampa Bay uniform. 49ers take down the Jets on the road, 31-13. The Steelers defend home turf against the Broncos, 26-21. The Titans survive a close game, but they get the big win over the Jags, 33-30. The Packers destroy the Lions, 42-21. The Bills take down the Dolphins in a close game on the road, 31-28. Colts take down the Vikings, 21-11. Cardinals beat the Washington football team, 30-15. The Ravens defeat the Texans, 33-16. The Chiefs need overtime to beat the Chargers, 23-20. And then last but not least, the Seahawks with the goal line stand to defeat the Patriots, 35-30.
So you like football, huh?
Good job.
And that right there was your NFL Week 2 scoreboard.
That was really impressive.
Was. He's getting good at this.
All right, so what stood out the most to you over the weekend? Was it the Sunday Night Football? Was it the AFC South? Was it the onside kick, the Booker T. Spinneroonie?
I think the biggest is, although it's 2020, some things never change. The Falcons still blowing a massive lead.
My God.
And it was like the second quarter. And in my other work, fantasy league, one of the girls had Dak Prescott as the quarterback. He had -1 points.
Oh, yeah.
They turned around.
Oh, it was
and
bad.
Finished with like 39 points.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons are horrible. My other takeaway, Jets suck. The Eagles, wow. When are they going to put in Jalen Hurts? Cowboys, that was big, but that's more on the Falcons. Aaron Rodgers. I'm sticking behind the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. He looks great. It doesn't matter. They were down a little bit early in that game, but, I mean, he always kills the Lions, and he came back to that. Your top quarterbacks right now, your top 10 as far as passing yards go, that's kind of surprising to me. Josh Allen, his performance lately has been very nice. Maybe he wasn't just –
he is going to win a lot of money for people in fantasy football.
Maybe he's the real deal. Matt Ryan, Dak third. Teddy Bridgewater, fourth. Russell Wilson, fifth. Aaron Rodgers, followed by Phillip Rivers, Brandon's boy. Then Cam, Jared Goff, Matt Stafford, and Ben Roethlisberger.
And those are what, yards?
Yeah, those are yards.
Okay. Hey, can you tell us who's number one in passer rating right now?
In passer rating?
I'm
sure it's Ryan Tannehill because that's the only reason
why that's the only reason you would ask.
Well, actually, it's not.
No, I think he's like top.
Actually, number
right
one.
He had the best passer rating yesterday.
Your top 10 passer rating quarterbacks, which
I don't even know what that means.
It's the stat that you really want to look at when you look at quarterback
performance. It just combines everything.
Yeah.
That's all you got to know.
The best quarterback in the league right now, no surprise there, Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson at 2. Josh Allen at the 3 spot. Ryan Tannehill at 4th. Aaron Rodgers at the 5th spot, followed by Taysom Hill, but he only has 1 attempt, so it doesn't really matter.
Taysom Hill.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he just got hurt.
He did.
Gardner Minshew, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Derek Carr round out the top 10.
Is Gardner Minshew the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think so.
I think undoubtedly yes at this point.
Yeah. I think you have to say yes.
Yeah, you
I mean,
got
look
to.
At the way they started this season. They were widely projected as the laughing stock of the NFL, and look what they were able to do in the first 2 weeks.
I mean, he's number.
I mean, they were able to beat the Colts in the first week, and then had this. I mean, this miraculous comeback, you know, against the Titans yesterday, and the Titans were still able to pull out the victory in the end. But man, like it was a tied ball game with like under 2 minutes or something like that to go. The Titans, they were able to hit a great field goal at the end, and then there was a really nice defensive interception. To really kind of close out the game and put it at a, or just kind of wind it down to zero. But man, I think you got to give a lot of respect to the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chance, go ahead.
No, I was going to say they made the decision to push Foles out. They saw what they had in Minshew after, you know, Foles got hurt. Looks like he's the real deal, man. Mike Leach did a good job with that guy. He has 6 touchdowns, 2 picks on the year. He's 5 as far as total touchdowns for quarterbacks. Only better than him would be Russell Wilson, who has 9 touchdowns to 1 interception, has an 82% completion percentage right now, which is just insane. Ryan Tannehill, 70% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 6-1 touchdown interception ratio. And then Aaron Rodgers with 6 touchdowns and 0 picks on the year. But yeah, he's up there. I mean, with the top quarterbacks in the league.
Looking at the Jaguars, I mean, coming into the year, I thought, okay, this is a team that's going to score 21, 24 points a game, but they're going to give up 40, and it's still going to be a struggle. But the defense is at least playing with some confidence, even though they didn't stop anybody yesterday. And the offense looks great. I mean, they have some weapons at receiver. Laviska Shenault and DJ Chark are obviously 2 good receivers, and Conley is a good third guy. Cameron Brate's a good tight end, and the running game has looked pretty good as well. And it's perfect for Gardner Minshew. It's a lot of quicker reads, and he's a really confident and accurate thrower. He was throwing people open yesterday. The Titans would have decent coverage, if not good coverage at times, and he would just place the ball perfectly, and his receivers would make plays despite what would look like good coverage. I mean, he's really confident, and he's really talented. And yeah, I don't even think the Jaguars at this point are the worst team in the AFC South.
Yeah, I think that you might actually be able to make a great argument towards that. The Texans have certainly looked incredibly lackluster, and so on and so forth. Chance, you had mentioned something earlier about the Cowboys and the Falcons game, and man, I watched that entire game through the misery that it was for most of it, and I gotta agree. Like, I would love to sit here right now and tell you all the reasons why I think that Dak is a superstar and why the Cowboys' offense is so good, but the fact of the matter is that they're not the main talking point of that game yesterday.
No,
it was the Falcons just completely failing to ever really capitalize on a lead that they had 99.9% of the game. In fact, with about a minute left in the game, they did. They had a 99.9% chance to win that game. And then the onside kick happens. Which, has anybody ever seen an onside kick done that way? Because maybe I have, but like in the grand scheme of things, you never, never really see people doing onside kicks like that. So you had Greg the Leg basically just put the football flat on the ground, kick it so it would spin like Anakin Skywalker using the Force to bring the football 10 yards. But the way that the Falcons played that kick was abysmal.
Well, I mean, it was just a lack of, they just didn't have any awareness of what was going on. I mean, why are they just sitting around waiting for the ball to go 10 yards? They don't have to.
I know.
Jump on it.
Do you think that they felt like they had to wait for the ball to go 10 yards?
Clearly.
I think that they thought it just wasn't going to go 10 yards until it was too late.
Man.
But it doesn't have to.
Well, that's no, but so I think that they were just like, yeah, it's not going to go 10 yards. Let's just not touch it and take the penalty. I mean, I'm not excusing anything they did. It was terrible situational awareness, and it cost them a football game. Fun fact, actually, the Falcons had 39 points with 0 turnovers. Entering that game, teams that had that same 39 points with 0 turnovers since 1933, when they invented the stat, the turnover, were 440-0, had never lost until the Falcons did it.
440-1. After yesterday's game. I mean, it was a wild game in which the Falcons went up on a 20-0 run in the first quarter. But then, from the second, the third, and the fourth, the Cowboys were able to outscore the Falcons by a score of 40-19 to close that game out and win it with a last-second field goal by Greg Zuerlein. So that was pretty crazy. But I do agree with what Chan said at the beginning. That game was much more about Atlanta blowing the lead. Like, I think that you got to give Dallas every bit of respect for, I mean, keeping in the game the entire game. For 3/4 of the game, you were pretty much playing a game where you had to score a touchdown on pretty much every drive. So give the Cowboys offense credit for being able to do that, but man, a collapse by the Falcons.
I think, though, the biggest storyline from yesterday was all the injuries.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, Barkley goes down, McCaffrey goes down, Barkley likely done for the year, Garoppolo goes down, Raheem Mostert goes down, and that's
the Niners Lock, got ransacked.
Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Bruce Irvin got hurt last night towards the end of the game. Valdez Scantling went down at one.
I mean, there were at least
Drew Lock is out.
There were at least three Seahawks that on the defensive side of the ball that went down last night in last night's game alone.
Yeah,
Malik Hooker went down. Paris Campbell went down. Both.
But I mean, I guess it's kind of to be expected.
ESPN went so far to make a top 10 of the ranking the guys who got hurt yesterday.
Whoa,
I mean, it's rough. It was a rough game. Do you think that's just football? And
no.
That's just the way things go? Or do you think that there is – and obviously this is something we'll never really know, kind of just have an assumption of. But, I mean, do you kind of chalk this up as a day where just the football gods just kind of, you know, a couple wrong turns along the way? Or do you think that this is something to do with the lack of conditioning going into the season? Because I think that the conditioning is even something to talk about too. You saw at the end of that Seahawks and the Patriots games, and those players looked exhausted. I mean, it's totally different going from nothing, going from just a couple practices to a full game time format.
I mean, I think maybe a few of them weren't to do with conditioning, but I feel like, I mean, Barkley tearing his ACL, I mean, that's probably not due to conditioning, but I mean, I feel like a lot of these guys, I mean, there were no preseason games. I think a lot of it's just to do with the shortened preseason. But I mean, what do you do?
I
just continue on.
I feel like a lot of the injuries. I mean, sure, there wasn't a preseason, which you would think would have an effect, but like the torn Achilles and you know the AC joints where your shoulder gets driven into the ground and the torn ACLs and all that, I feel like conditioning doesn't really help or hurt you in that regard. I think there was just also some terrible, terrible luck yesterday.
I just think it was a freak weekend.
And some bad field conditions, too. The 49ers want the turf at MetLife to be examined by the NFL before they play there again next week. They were livid with the turf conditions there. They said it was just dangerous and terrible turf. And, I mean, they lost two guys to torn ACLs.
Man, that is quite the day for fantasy owners. Anybody get bad luck with either Barkley or McCaffrey on your team?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans. I'm coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss. How did it end up like this? All right, here we go back here on the Blitz. We are making our way through the first hour of the show today on a chilly Monday morning. I feel like we have flipped the switch. I feel like the switch has been flipped, and we are now in fall weather.
Yeah, I feel like after the hurricane came through, that was it's been kind of cool since.
Well, fall was officially yesterday.
Really?
Was it? That was the official first day?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly felt like it all weekend, and kind of looking up ahead to the weather forecast coming up this week. I mean, nothing really gets above 80 degrees. I even think on Thursday, it's not even supposed to get above 70
degrees.
Well,
technically, I guess it's officially tomorrow, but...
Hey, same thing.
It's 59 right now?
Yeah, man. Good. It's chilly outside.
Well, it was a low of 45 last night.
Yeah. So, I think...
just crank up the heat.
No, I'm the kind of guy that opens the windows and turns the AC off and lets it get down to the low 50s.
Not surprised.
Not me, Chance. I can't do that myself. I am very, what am I, warm-blooded then? I don't know. I feel like I always need to be hot. Like, I would much rather be hot than I would cold at any point.
Well, I would hope you're warm-blooded. Most humans are.
Okay, well, yeah.
You mean like
sense,
you're cold-blooded.
Yes.
Like,
but you know what I'm trying to say.
Stay cold.
There. Guys, in case you need to get a little gambling in over the weekend, I mean, it's a big weekend coming up. the return of SEC football, and week three of the NFL, and continued NBA playoffs, and continued Stanley Cup. I mean, there's a lot going on. You might want to make some money this weekend. If you want to do so, go over to MyBookie. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you can make a little extra cash with some of that pristine NFL and college football knowledge? Well, with MyBookie, they can make your dreams come true this season. Look, if you're the type of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, try parlaying them together. Make a super route of the way that you can get paid using MyBookie. So, look, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because nobody gives you more ways to win. And if you do this right now, look at this, look at this. MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right, double, double. Use promo code Knoxville to activate this offer. That's promo code Knoxville to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Speaking of gambling, guys, we got a big game this weekend coming up, South Carolina, Saturday night. The first official line for the game has come out. Now, Brandon, I told you this earlier, so Chance and Charlie, have you guys seen what this line is yet?
I would say it's probably 4.5, okay. Tennessee.
Okay. Charlie, if you had to estimate.
I haven't seen it, though.
I would say Tennessee probably 2.5, maybe 3.5.
You are right on the outside of it on both. So, according to Circa Sports, which is the official book for the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino in Vegas, they have Tennessee as a 3-point favorite heading into this weekend's game with an over-under of 50 points. Now, if you're asking me, if I'm just kind of speculating on what this game might be, and I'm looking at those two specific gambling methods in particular, I would take Tennessee. I would say Tennessee wins by more than 3. But I would say the under on 50. I would say we're if I had to bet anything right now, I'd say maybe like a 20, I don't know, 24 to 10 victory, something along those lines. 24-13 maybe, 24-17 even. But I would definitely take the under. I don't think Tennessee's a team that's going to, you know, jump off the page statistically in the offensive categories by any means, especially to start out this season. And I don't really know if I'm taking the South Carolina offense to put a bunch of points on the board. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, they're breaking in a new quarterback.
Colin Hill.
Freshman.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you as far
as
covering.
Colin Hill is the transfer.
Is he a transfer?
He's a transfer from Colorado State. Came over with new offensive coordinator Mike Bobo. And he has not played since the very beginning of 2019. I believe he had an injury that sidelined him for all of 2019. So he's making a big return to the football field coming up this Saturday night.
Like I said, I think I'm with you as far as Tennessee covering. I don't know. I could see it being over 50. Maybe, 27, 24. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah.
Colin Hill kind of looks like a taller Rick Butler. Have you seen this guy?
Please. Are about 3 days late to that joke as Russell tweeted that out.
Really?
I didn't know that. Friday.
Never seen
Russell,
that.
Yeah, Russell tweeted that out on Friday and said, breaking. Rick Butler is the new starting quarterback for South Carolina.
He's got the Will Greer.
He does.
Clipboard Jesus look going on.
The Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah.
He does. He does look like I did before I cut all my hair off. But, just a white guy with a beard and long hair. But what do you guys think about those numbers? What do you think about Tennessee being a 3-point favorite as well as the early over-under for the South Carolina-Tennessee game?
I think I like Tennessee to cover here. I mean, on paper, I look at it, and I think you have an advantage in almost every area, certainly coaching. And then I think everywhere offensively that you have an advantage besides maybe your receivers against their corners. And then same defensively, I think you should be able to guard their receivers and stop their run. Your D-line would be my only concern there, but I don't think South Carolina has that good of an offensive line either. On paper, this is a game that we should win by right around 10 points. But as for the over-under, I think it's going to legitimately be right around 50. Like, you might get a 31-21 game. So I would be scared to bet either way.
I agree with you, Charlie. I think the only matchup advantage that they have on us is their cornerback star receivers. And that's just because I think we don't really know what our receivers are going to bring to the table so far. But, I think this is a game that, like you said, Charlie, Tennessee should win on paper. But, I mean, so far throughout Jeremy Pruitt's tenure, I mean, we've not really come out in the first game and looked too hot either of his first 2 years. So, I mean, I'm not going to come out and be overly optimistic.
So, South Carolina went 4-8 last year, 3-5 in SEC play. They finished fourth in the East, right behind Tennessee did. Colin Hill, I think, is something interesting to talk about. Colin Hill, I also believe, is one of the biggest reasons why I am picking the under. So Hill is coming off of his third ACL tear, which I did not even know before a second ago. I knew that, you know, obviously he had the knee problems and what caused him to be sidelined for all of 2019. But he is coming off of his third ACL tear that ended the season just three games into their year. So, excuse me, it was not the first game, it was the third game. But nonetheless, when he was healthy, Colorado State made an appearance in 18 games, 11 starts in those games. And with Mike Bobo, he tossed for 3,323 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 11 interceptions. So this is definitely a big guy that can throw the football around the field. But look, if you are breaking in a new quarterback who's had injury concerns, who hasn't played since the beginning of 2019, I got to go into this week believing that Tennessee's defense, and especially their cornerbacks and secondary, are experienced enough not to let this game get out of hand.
You know, adding to that as well, you said it's a 4-8 South Carolina team last year.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 4-8 South Carolina team from a year ago that also lost five of arguably their best, you know, seven or eight players from last year's team. So on paper, they got even worse. I mean, you lose Kinlaw, you lose Bryson Edwards, you lose Wonum on the edge.
I think even is there like a guy named Hill? Is there somebody who plays for the Patriots? I feel like somebody had mentioned on the broadcast of Sunday Night Football last night that one of the Patriots wide receivers was like a rookie from South Carolina or something. Maybe I'm making that up, but continue on.
Their top receiver was did go to the Raiders, but they might have had another guy that was maybe like undrafted. I'm not sure about that, but I mean, yeah, they lost a lot of talent, especially defensively, and they already weren't that great on defense. Their biggest strong suit is their two corners, Jace Horn and Israel Mana whatever. I can't say his name right.
Mana whatever. I like that.
So I think we should win this game.
I think we should too. Hey, let's check in, see where Tennessee lies in the new AP poll rankings coming up on the other side of the break. All right, fellas. Back here on Blitz. Got a couple more minutes left in the first hour of the show today. Rick, Brandon, Charlie, and Chance hanging out with you. So, we are only a couple days away from Tennessee game days. We are beginning game week here on the show. And wanted to give you a little bit of a update about what happened over the weekend for Tennessee. Well, the newest version of the Week 3 AP Top 25 poll came out. Now, if you remember correctly, last poll, we had jumped up to 15. That was obviously with the removal of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten teams. That's why Tennessee was able to jump up so much. In the original rankings, we were just had made the top 25. I think we were 25 or 24, something along those lines. However, the third edition of the poll has come out, and your Tennessee Volunteers fall in the rankings, but only by one spot. So Tennessee is currently ranked at number 16 in the rankings. That is where they will be when we go into South Carolina coming up this week, I believe. Now, they might add the Big Ten back, but
no.
Came out this one on Sunday, I think that this is what it's going to be for this week.
I mean, they won't add them this week.
Okay, yeah.
I'd say they probably won't. I mean, if they didn't, when did the Big Ten announce? That was, what, last week?
I believe they announced last Wednesday.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they announced last week they were going to play and they didn't add them this week, I wouldn't imagine that they would add them back to the poll until they start playing.
Yeah, until probably, I mean, just like I guess the SEC's been there the whole time, but it is that's a fascinating conversation, Brandon, and I want to get your thoughts on that before we talk a little bit more about this Tennessee, but we were talking about this a little bit last week. I mean, what do you think they're going to do with the Big Ten? Do you think you just put them right back into the top 25? Do you let them play their way into the top 25? Do you say that, hey, you have to have a win your first week to be considered? I mean, it's a weird process for the rankings right now.
I have no idea.
The only thing that you can say about the AP poll at the least right now is that, hey, all the teams that are in so far have at least, you know, none of them have been taken out. Now you're trying to put all these teams back in it. I mean, I guess it might just be as simple as going through your projections and trying to figure it out, but at that point you have over half of college football who have been playing games, and then just one division who has not. So it's a weird thing. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that a team like Ohio State will, whenever they decide to put them back in, I would imagine they would be right there, number one or number two, number three. I don't see why you'd keep them out. I mean, they're going to be one of the best teams. It doesn't matter when they start playing.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to quantify,
figure out where you
put them.
Yep. Here's what the top 10 looks like. And by the way, all of Tennessee's, or those five hard opponents that Tennessee has, they do all still stay in the top 10. 1, 2, 3 is Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma. 4, 5, 6 is Georgia, Florida, LSU. You have Notre Dame at 7. You have a tie for 8th place, Texas and Auburn. Then you have Texas A&M at 10. And then 11 through 15, North Carolina, Miami, UCF, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State. And then finally you have Tennessee at 16. And by the way, Memphis, 17.
Memphis.
1-0 on the year so far. The 19 through 25 looks a little strange. Louisiana Lafayette, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, Army, Kentucky, Louisville, and Marshall. We are Marshall.
Well, I mean, it's going to look weird.
It's
going to look weird until these other conferences start playing. I mean, you've got to fill out the top 25, and, I mean, you're doing it with you're doing it with group of five teams, so it's gonna look a little strange.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, again, that is a little bit about what the AP poll looks like heading forward. But again, we will start out this week. We'll start out our first game against South Carolina, ranked as the number 16th team in the country. Hour number two is on deck, gentlemen. We got a ton of places to go. We'll be talking a little NBA hoops, as well as check in with what happened at the Open. My guy, DeChambeau, with the big victory. Hey, hour number two of the Blitz is coming up next. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous.